Were you on the council when all the Seahawks stuff happened? When they were trying to move to California and all that, or was that before?
Shoot, I was on it forever. I remember Carillon Point. I mean, it was through all that, boy, from the planning commission and everything. Hello there.
Hello, everyone.
We should figure out a way to keep on Carillon Point.
They wanted a covered facility.
Yeah, I don't blame them on that.
I think Paul Allen had owned that piece of property down there, the old lumber mill.
Oh.
He owned it. We're moving to there and build this.
All right, well, I guess we should get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the December 16th edition of Design Review Board. Just a reminder, everyone, to please silence your phones. And can we get started with roll call, please?
Randall Brandt.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen. Navina Lukanova. Tim Olson.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
All right, on tonight's agenda, we have the Design Response Conference for 112 Lake Street South. Before we get into that.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, I am reading the wrong minutes, which in fact, this is also on the agenda, is reading the minutes from the Design Response Conference for 112 Lake South. We have Conceptual Design Conference for Emerald Mixed Use tonight. But before we get to either of those, do we have any requests from the audience for neither of those two items on the agenda? All right. In that case, let's go through the minutes for 112 Lake South. I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to go through your draft and look through.
Move approval.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. All right, and then let's jump into the CDC for Emerald Mixed Use.
Okay, great. Tony Levitt, Planning Department. All right, so again, yeah, this is for the Conceptual Design Conference for the Emerald Mixed Use Project. Just kind of give you some guidance on the subject property. So the property is located at 10930 116th Avenue Northeast. The property around 1.2 acres currently contains a two-story commercial industrial building. The site is relatively flat around the existing building, but has significant upward grade change along the northern end of the property to the existing parking lot that's on the north edge of the property. The property has street frontage along 116th Avenue Northeast. This street is designated as a collector street for the city. The subject property is surrounded mostly on the north, the east, and the south with industrial buildings. So this would be obviously a different use within that area. To the west of the property is some open space that is associated with the Avana at Forbes Creek apartment complex. So the applicant is proposing to construct a 7-story mixed-use building with residential apartments and office space. Parking is proposed within a structured parking lot below the building. Vehicular access to the property is proposed from 116th. The applicant has provided you with three massing options and also program description and general project information in the packet. Some of the key zoning regulations to keep in mind for the Totem Lake 10D zoning. Permitted uses, obviously office is allowed in this zone. Stacked dwelling units are allowed only in this particular area. It's a housing area for a targeted area within the Totem Lake District. That was from a different project. Maximum height is actually 60 feet above average building elevation. Setbacks are 10 feet from 116th Avenue. Side yard setbacks are minimum of 5, total of 15 from the north and south side setbacks. There is no rear setback. The DRB does have the authority to approve required minor variations for to the required yards. The applicant has not proposed anything with these current concepts, but that is an option down the road. Parking, residential is based on the unit type. Office is one per 300 or one per 200, depending on the type of office that is being proposed. And there is an affordable housing requirement in this particular zone. So as far as site context is concerned, we obviously want to look at tonight, what is the surroundings of the property? The applicant and DRB should discuss the physical and built environment on and around the subject property. Topics can include height of neighboring structures, topography, landscaping, uses, that kind of thing. What are some opportunities and constraints of the site in vicinity given this following topics: streetscape, urban form, activity uses in the area, pedestrian patterns, and environment, character of adjacent buildings, and landscaping and open space. Some of the design guidelines we'll want to take a look at and consider are for scale. Some of the discussion points, what are some of the key advantages of the project? Identify appropriate mitigation technique for building massing of the proposed buildings. Possible techniques can include vertical and horizontal modulation, corner treatment, and roof forms. For pedestrian environment, we want to look at pedestrian orientation. What are some of the public, what are public improvements going to look like? What are pedestrian connections and lighting? Discussion items, how does the proposed massing and location structure relate to and respond to the pedestrian environment? What are opportunities for pedestrian open spaces at the street level on the subject property? What are some of the connections and how does the project engage pedestrians? And finally, landscaping. We want to look at a variety of, for at the ground level for pedestrians, ways of using landscape to reduce and add a diversity to the building forms and soften and enhance visual quality of the urban environment. Discussion, we'll want to talk about what are the opportunities for landscaping, open space on the subject property. So tonight, the goal is to provide guidance on the applicant's massing and site design options, and also determine what models, drawings, perspectives, et cetera, will be needed for the design response conference application. You may apply for that. So, any questions? Sure, yeah.
Use zone chart here says 65 feet above average building elevation, not 60.
I think I had 65. Hmm? I thought it was 60.
Okay. In order to get a better feeling for what's going on here, the residential use zone four, the elevation there at 65 feet, everything else in the Totem Lake 10 is limited to 35. Is that right? Or if I could?
Unless you're doing a, if you are doing a residential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the residential.
So yeah, the residential
the
is.
Real it, premium.
Yeah.
For residential.
Yeah.
And you have to provide the 10% affordable housing.
Correct, yeah. So it was that housing target area idea being that we raised the heights to get that residential uses in the zone and also get that affordable housing.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it's also important to note that the affordable housing level is 50% AMI.
Oh, it is. Thank you.
Unlike many of the other areas, 50%. So it's a true benefit.
Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah, there's some.
Sorry, what was
there along the corridor, you can also go additional height. So if your property fronts on the corridor, Cross-Kirkland corridor, there are some additional heights that are allowed.
For residential or for other?
Mixed-use projects, yeah.
Strictly residential?
No, it would be mostly mixed, because I think you have to have a retail component as part of that.
Add one more.
If you're going to speak, come up to the mic.
Yeah, I want to ask a quick question. Sure. On your previous statement, what was that you were saying about affordable housing in the...
Pardon me. So this is a targeted incentive area, and for the redevelopment of this property to receive, you know, to get to the 65-foot potential, 10% affordable units at 50% AMI must be included versus what is pretty standard is 80%. So it's a... significantly more affordable scenario. And then final comment on just the surrounding uses in addition to the 80 feet on the Cross-Kirkland corridor. It's my understanding that if somebody were to control 14 acres within the Totem Lake 10 zoning, there's the potential for a planned unit development very similar in scope and scale to the Juanita Village. So that's something that's out there that I know is on a number of people's wish lists.
Thanks, Mark. So, all right, well, if there's no other questions, I'll pass it on to the applicant.
All right, my name is George John, and I'm here with Main Street Property Group. Here to do a quick intro. I'm a project manager for Main Street. We're the owner and developer. I'm here with Mark Betcher. He's a VP of development at Main Street. And Tony pretty much gave you a great overview. It's a seven-story building, five stories of residential. We're planning on having about 150 units. It'll be close to about 198 parking spaces. Obviously, this is pending the design. The intended commercial use will be a daycare use on the ground level, which will be about 16,000 square feet. And it's really our goal here to listen to you guys and take everything you have to say tonight into account and build a really nice, effective building that will be appreciated by the community for many years to come. With that being said, we have Sean Whitaker here, who's the lead architect on the job. He flew up here from Pleasanton, California to present tonight and get your feedback on the current design of the building and the conceptual nature of it. So, thank you.
Hi. Sean Whitaker, Dahlin Group, Architecture and Planning. We've worked with Main Street for a long time. We've got an office in Bellevue as well, but I've got a close relationship with the folks at Main Street, so I come up to work on a lot of these projects with them, and I'm thrilled to do it. These are great projects, and Main Street, really, they deliver. They're fun projects to work on. So I'm excited to get into another one. Let me walk through some of the key issues that we've been looking at specific to this property, and then we'll get into the three basic concepts that we looked at and we'll discuss tonight. We began this study with the understanding that there was a 5 foot wide, my clicker's floating on me a little bit, I got it under control now. There's a 5 foot wide pedestrian connection on the south side, in addition to a 20 foot wide fire access lane on the south side, and those two could be combined, so there's a total of 20 before we can do any building on the south side. Other than that, we're just adhering to the basic setbacks, which are 10 feet on the front, 5 on the side with a total side setback of 15, so 10 on one, 5 on the other. We're exceeding it on this side with the 20 that I just explained. There's no setback on the back side, so we've given in this study, we've given about 3'6", just so we can build this back garage wall, and then we'll step back further at the residential level and the office level so that we can get our allowable openings for those uses.
Real quick, is that an easement for that designated fire truck lane and through access?
Is it a dedication or an easement?
Not to make it any more confusing.
Oh, yeah, come up to the mic, please.
My apologies. Not to make it any more confusing, but the citywide connection plan that was approved, I believe, on the 12th of December has some information that specifically is specific to this site, and whether or not it's on the north side or the south side, and exactly how the functionality and the sum total of all the parts is going to work is something we're working through with Public Works and the planning department. But at the end of the day, it would be a dedicated public easement in perpetuity benefiting the city. So,
thank you.
This is for future connectivity as part of the overall Totem Lake Parmac Business District, kind of carving it up into blocks so that it's more of a human scale and just creates a better living environment at some point in the future.
That's the whole width, not just the trail.
At the end of the day, I expect it'll be the whole width. Initially, it was conveyed to us that it was a pedestrian trail. This site sits slightly elevated above the property to the east, so that any future connectivity, however that connectivity is achieved, would either require the project to the east to raise its grade significantly or build some sort of elevated structure, whether it's a right-of-way. So we're working through that in conjunction with hoping for your feedback this evening.
So next time you see the project, the connection may be on the north side. That's part of what we're working through. Yeah, you'll see a similar width maybe on the north side next time. The applicant is required to improve the right-of-way with a basic sidewalk, 5 feet, and a planter. I think the planter is 4'6" with street trees. We're kind of estimating where our pedestrian access will occur based on our current study and layout, with residential entry being to the south, and then just a garage in and out sort of in the middle, and then next would be to daycare, up to daycare, which is above garage. This is just a setback diagram. We're looking at a potential cantilever to that 20-foot mark that I described. We looked at preliminary lot coverage, and based on our estimated footprint and then driveways and pedestrian connections, that left us just slightly over the 80%, about 1,700 square feet over. And we're looking to offset that with planters above the parking garage, which the zoning code allows for. Height limit, we're looking to get a 7-story building under the 65-foot height limit. It is the sloping site, so you're really seeing 6 stories on the north and the 7 on the south, and we're building right up to that height limit. We're squeezing our plate heights and our structure to just meet that 65-foot limit. But to be clear, the high point is here. It's about a 16-foot grade change, high north, low south. So we're looking to get into the garage on the south side. The dimensions and the proportions of the site really lend itself to a U-shaped residential building. You basically have around 70-foot widths that you want to work with to create a typical double-loaded corridor apartment building. So as such, the dimensions sort of dictate a U-shape, and primarily what we were looking at was the orientation of the open side of that U. We looked seriously at an eastern, a southern, and a western facing courtyard. Our preference is the western facing, primarily for two reasons. The western light in the afternoon, and also it's a great way, a natural way, to break up the most prominent facade of the building into two masses. That courtyard is our primary opportunity for landscaping and residential plaza space, in addition to the street trees and some of the right-of-way improvements that we can do. Is there anything else that I can describe right away, or do you have questions?
Maybe could you clarify a little more with the 80% coverage, the 1,700 square feet, when you said you can use planters on? I would assume that if the garage was underground, you could do something like that, but your garage is sticking up in the air. Can you explain that?
Yeah, our garage is completely covered on the north side, and then it daylights on the south side.
planters on, above the garage are allowed based on the zoning code. And so that's what we're trying to use to offset the slight overage in lot coverage.
The north side?
The planters are where they're shown here. They're central.
So the main courtyard in the U, that's on the roof of the daycare?
Correct.
So does the daycare have any exterior play space?
It does. That tenant will require some outdoor play space. My understanding is around 3,000 square feet, and we're showing that in the diagram here. In this version, it was shown on the east side. So if you can see, this is an exterior wall with around 3,000 square feet facing the southeast. That's exterior space over garage with the intent to landscape that.
Wait a minute, north is still up on this, on that diagram?
North is up on this diagram. So I'm saying this area that I'm circling here is the southeast, and this is intended to be outdoor play area for the daycare.
Oh, okay. So it's...
Does the housing extend out over the top of that? Because I assume that...
Yeah, this dashed line, this dashed line indicates...
And then it extends out.
You're correct. This dashed line indicates the residential building above, so it would be partially covered, say two-thirds or three-quarters covered.
How does the garden get access to the sky to qualify as a, you know, permeable surface if there's units above it?
So if it needed access to the sky, I don't believe it does based on the zoning code. If it did, we could locate more garden outside of the perimeter of the residential building, which again is the dashed line here on the east side.
No, some of these questions are way beyond what conceptual design is, but there was enough here that I kind of...
Okay.
If you look here on the right side as well,
yeah.
So the courtyard, the PT deck that frames, that creates this courtyard right here is held back, and I'm going to just say 20 feet. I don't know what the scale is here. So this portion here that's associated with the daycare, this here has a clear height of approximately 11 feet.
Yeah.
And so there'll be some exterior, a row of exterior columns here, and they'll have a semi-covered exterior play area. Mm-hmm. And we can install heat out here as well, so it becomes 12-month kind of outdoor area. Okay. And this area here will be open to the sky. And just for one final clarification, we've been working closely with a specific daycare to get their feedback early on in the design so that we're providing the best environment potential for her to be successful and the children as well. And as Sean noted, so this whole project, this is when the building used to be oriented to the east. So if you were to look at this, it's now oriented to the west. So the children will have unabated outdoor area, and then western exposed, that's basically covered, but open air, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Was there any plan or intention to do any rooftop decks if the city council passes our rooftop deck ordinance?
We're watching with eager eyes.
That's fine.
Yes. Okay. Ideally.
Fred, that was my only questions of the applicant at this point.
Anyone else? My only questions are more getting into deliberation, and they actually don't exactly have to do with this site. The badminton and tennis tops adjacent neighboring site. Do we know how many acres that site is? If we don't, it's mere curiosity because, yeah, it's a very large site, and I'm just thinking about that planned urban development and impact of this design on the neighbors in the future because, you know, just we're not here to talk about what is today, but what will be tomorrow. So I'm just curious about that. But if there's no other questions from the board, before we move into deliberation, we can entertain any questions or comments from the audience about this project. And seeing none, let's dive in on deliberation.
Well, concept one seems to be a no-brainer to break up the western exposure and the western face. I'm struck by just how dramatic a face this is going to be. That whole valley, you know, there's a long history of development of it. And when you come up 116th and see this, it's going to be pretty striking. Mm-hmm. And the property to the north of it, as I understand, which is still Totem Lake 10, because it adjoins to its north side single-family residence, it'll be very restricted in height. And the property to the south, I think, as the as it pulls away from 116th, there could very well be a tree buffer. So this building is mm-hmm. going to just sit there dramatically, and I'm still puzzling over that. I mean, it's good for the building. I don't know if it's good for the community.
Mm-hmm. May I comment on that, or is that not appropriate?
Let's suss out how the board's feeling first, and then we can direct questions. Thank you. Well, thinking of that, and to the point about, you know, looking at concept one, how's the board feel about all three concepts in general? Is this enough of a massing difference? Because we've commented before about how we largely get three of the same plan. Are we happy enough seeing, you know, the other two options to choose one tonight? Or would we want to see this one move forward with, you know, additional changes to it? Because that's one of the requirements for coming to this.
I'll jump in on that. Yeah. To show us an option and turn it two other directions isn't two other options. I have a hard time with that. To take a block and cut out a little slice, turn it around, cut out a little slice. The massing on this is for this corner and for what's going on at this location, to me just seems to be way overpowering. And I can see it as, from a developer's point of view, here's a square footage, here's a number of units, here's how it's got to set in there based on what you paid for the property and all that type of fun stuff. But when you look at this and say, you've got this six-story, you got this cutout into the center of this, and it's like six stories high, and I would say that you're probably no more than 40 feet wide. I'm not sure that when you look at this, it's probably upwards of just close to 40 feet wide, six stories high. That courtyard, honestly, won't get any sunlight. You're going to get a little bit of sunlight out at the west end of that, maybe, during the summer. And now, when you look at the trees across the street, the Forbes Creek apartment complex there, and how that sits on enough of a knoll that starts to go up. Those trees just aren't flat land and then up. They're going up. That corner in there is essentially dark. Now, this time of year, it's dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. During the summer, it's dark. Most of that street is dark. I drive it quite often. I live fairly close to this. I drive it quite often. It's dark a lot of the time. And so this is, to say that you have a courtyard, you have an amenity for an apartment building, which is this shaft going down, and you got landscaping in there. I'm not quite, I mean, you can grow moss like I do on the north side of my house, but that's about it. And so I just look at it that we really don't have any options here. We have one option. It just happens to be a variation of A, B, or C of one option, to where looking at this, where you're coming up, this photograph here, where you're coming up the hill, and Now you have a block that starts and it extends and comes taller in the southwest corner where you're coming up. Why not stair step the building back a little bit at that point? Why not do some massing where you're trimming the corners a little bit or doing something in that nature? Because from the street side of it, it's just, you're going to have to decorate up the front of the building quite a bit, but honestly, that courtyard just doesn't make a lot of sense. To me, because it's too canyon in that. Now, as you go around the building and you look at it and you've got the badminton tennis club on the one side, warehouse on the other side, what happens in those zones in the future, they aren't going to stay that forever, is, this building, whatever sits down in there, this building's going to set up and it's probably going to step down to that and go over. So there may be some ways you can play with this, because you've got the cross corridor, cross Kirkland corridor that, access there. You've got this area that Forbes Creek Apartments have set aside with trees and that, and yet we've just set this block right in the middle of it. And I just don't, it doesn't feel good to me. And so, and I just don't look at it as we've got three options here. I look at we have one option with three variations. And they really need to look at stepping it or doing something. It's just a mess.
I don't know, to achieve Randall's other options, I think it's going to require a pretty healthy reduction in the overall massing, which probably equates to number of units, increased courtyard widths and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if we're in a position to say that's, has to happen, otherwise this building can't occur. I kind of agree with Dave. I think the making it look like as much as possible, two separate volumes with a gap in the middle from that west side, especially as you approach it. Along with Randall, I drive this very frequently. I know the area quite well. As you literally from the minute you leave Market Street, basically, it's greenery all across that south side of that street, all the way through there, and it does start climbing right there. And all of a sudden, boom, here's this thing. That's going to be, people are going to go, whoa, what the heck happened there? So I think that's, that's going to just be the main thing. The images that we're seeing so far, and I realize they're just placeholders, they tend to have what I'll call the sort of the real strong baseball cap roofs up high that I think contribute to the overall enormity of it, instead of, like Randall says, nibbling away at the corners, kind of eroding, making it a bar of soap instead of, the rigid cardboard hard cornered box, might be a way to deal with the this west facing facade. Getting back to some of these places, we're going to see the sky from this garden and back. That means that there is going to be a notch in the backside on the east side somewhere. We haven't seen that yet, but that'll be there. There may also be an option on the north and the south sides, although those aren't as critical, to do some sort of notches where you sort of get a cruciform or four corners, massing and little to good-sized gaps in the middle that break up the overall volumes, and to the extent that the two halves of this west-facing can look different enough and be perceived different enough as you head up, I think it could work. To say we've got to get under the lot coverage without doing some of the tricks means reduction in unit count and overall square footage, and I'm not sure I'm in a position to say this is the only way this will go at this point.
Just to add, to the comments here. I agree with Randall that we have only seen one massing just in different positions, just rotated. Just to add, I would like to see something that adjusts or adapts more to the natural slope of the site, maybe having, instead of one solid, having different solids at different heights that could make the building more interesting. Looking at the preliminary floor plan and the massing, I guess that it's, we are not seeing all the ins and outs of these buildings. Right now, just a cube, a volume that has a void in the in one piece. So I would like just to see different alternatives and different massing options for this site that adapt more to the existing conditions, and not just rotating one option, different degrees. I don't think that that's an appropriate solution for this project.
Steve, what do you think?
Well, I pretty well expressed concern for the mass and the fact that you faced, you know, having it open to the west breaks up the face. The other alternatives that were talked about, I would be really interested in hearing about how much we can cut down the overall mass of the project. Mm-hmm. It isn't clear.
I mean, I would say I recognize it's a challenging site, you know, because of the dedications we got to provide. I don't think it has to be anything dramatic. But, you know, it could even still be the same standard U-shape. But I'd like to see one, like, honest attempt through the design to play with the dimensions. You know, maybe it's, you know, some subtle ins and outs, you know, along, you know, each wing, you know, on the north and south. Maybe it's chipping away at the corner. Maybe it's rounding the corners and, like you said, the bar of soap instead of a cube. But I think that, you know, we're calling it massing, but maybe it can be achieved more through the subtleties of the design. But I'd like to see, you know, a good, honest attempt at ways to play with the overall massing just so we can get another idea of what can be done with the site. I'm particularly concerned, not concerned, but interested in the future of this or a larger development in the area. And so, you know, I don't want to set a precedent where we say, well, here's a cube and it's rotated. That's all we can do. You know, I'd like to set the bar higher for this one because if there's going to be a large scale development here in the future, it can be really nice. And so I'd like to see kind of some options what your design team can come up with.
I have a question in regards to the height calculations. When we're running across the site that's got a 16-foot drop, from one corner to the other, does that allow you to step a building to go 65 at the north corner, come over down, and then step it to 65 at the south?
No. So, I mean, you're going to basically your ABE calculation is going to determine your average, obviously, and that's going to establish your cap. And so it's a cap for the whole site. So,
but so what you're saying?
I mean, so you could, you, I mean, you could step it down as long as you're under that height. There's no, but there's not going to be separate. Yeah.
But if you would, but the question, my question is, yeah, is on the north side, you're not 65 foot from grade to top of parapet or top of the building. And yet you have enough, you're, I mean, this is about a 200, I think it's what, about 200 across the front face, 200 feet?
201, mm-hmm. 210.
And I'm just looking at that as a, we're almost forcing them into a block.
Yeah, yeah, it is
and,
a limitation.
And I'm looking at that, if you took half the building and you put one level up there that had a nice terrace coming out of it and you drop the other, and then the daycare fit back maybe back to the north side, but that's the southwest corner starts to open up around to the south side and the west side to really pick up sun in that area. So your landscaping or whatever that goes in there, you've really got a dramatic corner right at the corner of the building instead of trying to put something right in the middle of it. Because right now it's a double-loaded corridor. You go through it and there's apartments on either side of it. It's kind of twisting you around a little bit and that. But I'm just looking at if there's a way that you could.
Well, because it's one building, right? So it just has the one height limit. We do allow it, like if there were attached buildings, we can say, hey, yeah, you have multiple buildings. Each building can have its own, let's say, height calculation, depending where it could actually stagger, but yeah.
I see where the code is, but I'm looking at it and saying, when you look at it, a massing study, and you look at this, it's just a block.
Right. Yeah. It gets to Carlos's point.
And is there a variance process where you could shift that? I don't know.
When the Planning Commission does these, they don't anticipate that level of fineness to say, hey, there's opportunity here to let that north side be a little taller, let the south side be lower, because you'll get a more interesting building. Planning Commission and City Council, that doesn't even enter their discussion.
Well, I know it doesn't enter at that level because they're looking at 60,000 foot and really looking at things, and I'm just looking at it, is there, I don't know if you would come back with something. I'm just asking.
Randall, in principle, they could do it if they split it up into two lots.
Well, I wouldn't want to do that because then you have a lot line in the middle.
Yes.
You got a whole lot of problems there. Yeah. But I'm just looking at it, saying if there was some way to, because then you step it and you start breaking up that mass. You still get the cube, but you start.
You don't lose your unit count. You maintain your unit count. You maintain your height and how it's perceived as someone's walking alongside. Yeah.
May have a little bit more skin, but that's about it.
Is it okay for me to quickly comment on that? Just considering it's an ABE height, and if we were to, let's just say, forgo any sort of lot line, but arbitrarily break it into two buildings, a western building and an eastern building, it would actually raise the height of the western building, creating a larger mass. So as you can see here on this section here, this is a northern section, but this pretty well holds true as we come along the western frontage. So we're at basically 10 feet here, so 10, 20, 30, 40. So there are five levels here. This here in the most northwest corner is roughly 54 feet.
Right.
Okay, so if I'm following you correctly, if we were to break it up and then do an ABE calculation on four points of the western side, I believe it would ultimately bring the building up even higher.
So you'd have part of it that'd go lower.
Yep. I just wanted to make that point because everyone seems very sensitive to the scale and the mass within the neighborhood, and so I just thought it was valid.
It does put that right on that lot to the north. I'm not sure, since that lot transitions on to single family, how does that transition? Do we know?
Lower.
It's a different zone.
It's the same zone, but it's just a lower height limit, I think, isn't it?
Well, yes.
For the housing, right. Can I ask one question? The design ethos exploration that's shown, that obviously is the street that we're talking about as we're coming up there.
Yes.
Where the people are walking, I don't know, do you have that up on your page A13?
I don't have that page in this.
Okay, we've got it. So I'm looking at a real strong podium base, and I assume that's type one.
You're correct, yeah.
Construction there. Yes. And so there is no office space anywhere in this building, correct? It's daycare or residential. Okay. And
your approach, I think what you're getting at is like the pedestrian experience at ground level. Is that?
Well, and vehicular too.
Vehicular.
So if the we're not descending a huge, because there's no ramping. This is enter two spots up high to the north for the daycare only. Is that right? And lower on the south side for the residential?
Yeah.
No mixing, no driving between because there's no ramping, correct?
That's correct, okay. Yeah.
Simplifies it greatly in that respect, but so we don't descend a huge amount from the street at that southwest corner to get into the lower parking.
That's true. I think you're dropping about 4 feet there.
Okay, it's not a huge drop in there. You don't have to go very far to get to that when you turn into
correct.
It.
Correct.
And so the space directly above that is that residential amenity space, residential lobby? Where's that aspect, or where does that happen? I know it was on one of the floor plans, a residential entry.
Your approach here, what I'm showing here, is residential lobby, and this would be either a double height lobby or it would be lobby below and daycare above.
Okay.
On that southwestern corner.
Okay.
So the cars enter around the corner, the people enter straight in.
Okay. And looking at Randall's mathematics, he was talking about the tall courtyard. If I did my math correct, it's about 45 feet wide. Is that right? That's just sort of building face to building face, not counting any cantilevered residential decks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
you got a 50-foot wall.
And it's essentially
50-foot wall, and you're 40 foot, and I mean,
it's five.
Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of sun that gets into that.
We did extensively do some sun studies, and as a follow-up, we'd be happy to share them with you multiple times throughout the year at various times during the day. Obviously, the eastern revealed that it was lighter in the morning, but we really looked closely at the southern and the western opening, and studied the western because it offers the greatest penetration of natural light most deeply into the courtyard for the greatest period of time. And so, again, if that was something of interest, we'd be more than willing to help, you know, share
you
that with you.
You need to share that with us, yes.
Yes?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Do share that with us.
At one point, somewhere in the packet, I recall reading that the advantage of this, the western courtyard, is that more units have a view of the lake. How many floors up do you have to be before you really truly see the lake?
Go ahead, Mark.
So we always, during early feasibility, take a drone out to any sort of property that we're looking at to get north, south, east, and west territorial views to understand what opportunities there are, especially as it influences design. And I believe in the summer, it's approximately the fourth and fifth floors, and in the winter, I believe it, again, will be extend down to the third floor, as you have noted, the fir trees, conifers, just immediately to the west. They're not terribly thick, but it's available there. So okay. That opportunity does exist.
If I may, it might be worth just looking at a scale study that we've done in the last few days. Is it a good time for that? I presented this to the client today, and we start with the entire block. This is essentially the max buildable mass, and then we're looking at how to break down the scale. So it speaks to some of the concerns that you had, and it's playing off the concept of a tree canopy and introducing horizontal elements at various levels to offset the verticals. So our initial massing study looked more like this. And I think we're starting to create voids on the corners as Randall was requesting. So I don't see a great difficulty in pulling the roof form back if that was a concern. So I think as we begin to develop the design, we'll be looking to address a lot of the same concerns that you voiced already.
Well, as a board, would we like to see something like this more developed coming back with, you know, like plays on these in different options, or something more, like a better term, blocky and large scale in terms of alternate masses?
I like this level of complexity. If this is SketchUp or whatever, it's pretty quick and easy to bang these out and just sort of seeing what, you know, what we get on the other side where we've got the open space, the car. carve out for where the daycare stuff is and just seeing it a little bit more three-dimensionally. I'm not at all bothered by the, I know it's only one option, but the western cutout opening, I think that to me has the, the greatest options. Any future building over the badminton or the tennis or anything else is not going to be viewed from Forbes Creek Drive or 116th. It's all going to be totally hidden behind this building. You know, there's, and if somebody gets acquires enough to do a PUD, even if they go 80 feet, depending on their ABE, they may, you may see the top of that over this, but it's whatever happens after this is not going to be hugely visible from this viewpoint right here. I think it's just a matter of making this work so that it has both a vehicular, you know, viewpoint and pedestrian. There will be pedestrians there somewhat eventually. I mean, it's not a heavily trafficked pedestrian site right now. In fact, there are quicker and sooner entrances to the CKC as you're on Forbes Creek Drive that are leafy, woody, a little bit circuitous, but, you know, the 5-foot dedicated courtyard for Parmac eventually will connect to the CKC, but there's other ways when you're coming from the west to get to it sooner, quicker, not so much on the road.
It'll get there. Just not there yet.
Yeah, it'll get there eventually. I mean, obviously, in our kids' lifetimes, when there's actual mass transit on the CKC, you know, this will be a whole different ball of wax, and that'll be amazing to eventually see that. Maybe not even in our kids' lifetime. I don't know when it'll happen. But so, Brad, I'm going on, but I think this approach, this level of complexity for 3D schematic stuff would be very helpful.
I would, something of this sort, going around the building and looking at it would be a whole lot of help, because it's just a matter of, as you look at the massing that is now, the bluish-green box, it's a box. And, yeah, I can see how you're maximizing your square footage and, you know, your units and that type of thing. Yes, we don't want to pull back from that if we can, but it just needs, even on this, it's still deep back in as far as a courtyard or whatever, and I don't think you're going to, I mean, it just seems way too deep.
Are you thinking maybe if it's an H shape, if that depth decreases and you get an actual courtyard on the east side as well? I mean, is that?
I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah. I, you know, maybe you put a notch on the west and the south, or something like that. That isn't quite so deep, so it gets light. I don't know. That's up to you guys to do.
Two quick points, and then I'll sit down and. Just wanted to, you know, massing, obviously we anticipated, and this is a new product to this corridor, and it's kind of on a pedestal there. It is visible as you're approaching the street. It's not terribly visible when you're headed southbound on 116th because of the existing trees there that are not going to be removed. But, you know, we really tried with modulation and then these horizontal elements to try and reduce it so that it kind of brought the overall scale down. And if I'm might have heard you correctly, I want to make sure so I'm not off running. You guys are interested as a follow-up to see some sun studies and a similar concept such that we have on the screen on all four sides in the next couple days, if feasible, is prior to any sort of final comments. Is that a correct interpretation?
We're still working on that, and we'll give you a list. I think the board's kind of in agreement that this is the direction. This would satisfy us in terms of direction for an alternate massing or just more detailed massing. I think that we were just spooked by seeing a green box just rotated, you know. And so seeing this helps us envision, okay, that's how the massing is going to get broken up. Oh, okay, they can do this or that as different strategies. So this you have up on the screen is helpful. In terms of what we want to see for next time, usually that's kind of a wrap-up, but definitely sun studies. That's just kind of something that's required that we'd like to see. Let's go ahead and talk about that. What else do we want to see for this project? I would like to see some detailed exterior plans and kind of like outdoor pedestrian paving plans also for that pathway. John, do you know if we have any requirements for that pedestrian path that goes through? Because we did for the Total Lake Village. I don't know if we have anything special going on.
Yeah. Well, as Mark mentioned, the way the design of that path, and it could dramatically change with these the street connection requirements mm-hmm. that are going through. Because if we do the street connection requirements, that basically turns it into a half right away with the sidewalk through it. So that's something that I think the applicant will obviously work with Public Works, figuring out what their requirements are for that, and then they can provide. Yeah. More details on what the Public Works
I'm code just thinking requirement like, is. Does it need to be lit? Would we then be reviewing a lighting plan for, how involved is the DRB on that portion of the site?
And it depends, like I say, if it's a sidewalk, there's going to be different requirements than if it's a pedestrian connection, like a pathway. So, obviously we'll have them provide details on that per the code requirements.
So if that pedestrian connection moves to the north side, does that now kind of screw up the whole fire lane, 20 feet of fire lane and everything else and the vehicular access happening there?
I think we'd provide all of it on the north side then.
But then you're descending hugely downhill. Are you still going to come in on the south with the lower parking?
We would.
I don't think they can because the setback total will go over 15 feet. They would have to descend down, if I'm guessing, from the north.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You'd have to do a deep descent to get down to 170. Well,
this is definitely ideal. Yeah. I would prefer it, if the DRB gets any say in it, I would prefer it on the south side. I think that's best.
Oh, I couldn't. That's where I was going with it. If somebody at the city says, the pedestrian connection is to the north, obviously you don't do that in a 5-foot setback. Because then you're at a building and you're, at a property line. So does that mean the building gets smaller to keep the 20-foot fire lane requirement? And I assume the fire lane requirement is just to do our hose wrap and anything else that happens. The bollards get removed and the truck drives across the grass creek and start our count from there. If that 5 feet, if we can use the tires driving on the pedestrian connection, because it's part of the 20 feet of width, and that suddenly has to move north, something's got to give, and it's the building size at that point, I think.
I think that we can provide the fire lane on the north side and scoot the building south.
Okay.
Both the pedestrian connection and the fire lane would go on the north side. We can still enter the garage on the low side. We probably have to enter on the building face, which
is not
ideal. On
the west face, not on the south coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting thing was actually there was one time a connection map that showed a road connection on the south side, and then we met to discuss that. The biggest issue is the property to the south. There's a very large drop in topography on there.
Into Forbes Creek.
Yeah, so it goes down probably 15, 20 feet. A drop on that south property. So if you did half right away or half right away improvements on this property and half on the other, you'd have this big divide between them. So that was the big issue there. So.
Well, if we get some more detailed, breakups of the massing, what else would the board like to see next time? Standard detailed landscaping information, materiality.
Are we talking another CDC, or are we saying no? This will be into design response at that point.
That's a good question.
Level is it?
I mean, if we're talking that detailed floor plans, and we're still at CDC, we've never done that before. I mean, that's always waited until design response, typically. I'm comfortable saying that for CDC that this. With what we've talked about and expectations for what we're going to get next time into a design response, I'm comfortable doing it that way, but I've certainly listened to others.
I think the orientation of the building makes sense. I think that, you know, the void, you know, facing west is ideal. I'm not happy with the variety. So if we were to proceed forward, I'd be okay with that. If we got two variations of, I don't just want to see this one further developed. I'd like to see two variations. And if they were able to kind of come up with multiple variations of that while still providing the sun studies and, you know, the materiality and landscaping, I'd be satisfied with that. I'd like to hear the board's thoughts on kind of moving forward with the options here as presented, with the expectation that we get some more detailed, you know, kind of design massing.
Yeah. I guess I would say I'm fine approving this at the CDC level, and then if it means an extra meeting or two at a design response conference, because we haven't really, you know, seen the official approved CDC option at this point, I'm fine with that, because I think we can do a lot at the CDC or at the DRC level that will save them at time and not have to reschedule another CDC conference, which I think would be.
I'd go with them.
Not just a waste of time. Okay.
Yeah,
I think
it's one of those where the massing, you know, is quite there, but I also want to be fair to the applicant because I know this is a tough site. You know, with the dedications going in, there's only so much they can do with limitations with the ABE, you know. So I'm trying to find a happy medium.
Not to jump off on a too terrible of a tangent, but I noticed on the survey, there are all kinds of easements and just stuff that's recorded. And what on earth is going on there?
Mark.
That's fine.
End of the day. It's
Mark.
Back to
the hang of this one day, I'm sorry. It's a cell tower equipment for transmission that ultimately will be housed in the garage of the building.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So, and I'd like to just make a comment that I find this A13 encouraging. You know, there's a lot of things to like in this representation of the project.
The unfortunate part, and we're probably going to lose our palm tree, correct? It's going to be gone. There's a single solitary palm tree on that, in that area. There's also a huge visual distraction from the utility poles. I mean, it's a very heavy. So I would encourage, even though it's it may seem kind of picky, I would sort of include those to the best ability in any of the modeling, the SketchUp stuff, so that we can see the true, you know, what I assume none of it's going to get undergrounded. It's pretty heavy. Heavy presence of posts. Let's see, there's, you know, wires in the poles and everything else on that side of the street.
Okay, so what else would we like to see then if we're moving forward with a design response conference?
Typically, the board asks for cross-sections. Are there any cross-section directions you'd like?
Yeah, just cross-sections through the building, see how it fits with the site next door, especially when you're looking at the tennis and badminton where it's dropping 15, 20 feet down to the side, is just to kind of look at that and just see how this sets up in that area. Because it will, over that site, this will set up above that site, very prominent.
Yeah, I have here basic coordination of plans, like enlarged plans of the, you know, daycare area with the floor plans, a section through that daycare area kind of showing us how it's, you know, that overhang is protecting some of that outdoor area, but it still is exposed to light. So those detailed wall sections.
General dimensions of the plans and elevations, just to give us an idea of the heights and also the spaces, like courtyards, so we can have a clear understanding of what's happening inside.
Yeah, those dimensions, especially if you're going to look at those different massing kind of design options. So if you're talking about the ins and outs, letting us know what those steps are, you know. And you can do that in section or in plan, however it's easiest to kind of indicate.
It might be helpful to have a 3D representation of the potential development of the properties in this area, in envelopes with the elevations involved, because it's really hard to visualize. I've walked around, I'm still learning.
I think that's a great idea, and we'll also include those in our sections.
Yeah.
Future potential.
And I know the board probably is tired of me requesting it, but to the extent that it's possible to bring in a live SketchUp model, not heavily rendered, we're not talking anything there, just, you know, a little beyond what that was, just doesn't have to have materials applied, and to the extent that you can use sandbox to model the terrain and everything else around it. It's a complex one because there's some really weird things going on there, but that would be very helpful.
That's everything I've on my list for things I'd like to see.
One question I had on the, for, you know, you provided them some direction on the massing and different ideas. Did you want to provide specific direction on those massing ideas, or just have them come with different concepts? I don't know if we want to, it'd probably be good to provide them some specific direction on what kind of.
Yeah, because there were a couple comments that we heard regarding, you know, either following the topography, maybe cutting out, if you are going to cut out massing, it would be in the southwest corner, you know, looking at the context of the site,
mm-hmm.
those kind of directions. So, like, when they do come back with two options based on the U-shape facing west, at least there's some direction.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. I would say those two, you know, maybe variations in height, eroding the corner. Someone also mentioned maybe taking a notch out on the back side too. You know, maybe this becomes almost H-shaped. I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, not neglecting the other three sides and how you play with the massing there, because it is three-dimensional. We're not just worried about 1/16.
Well, that gets into looking at the other elevations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now we're focusing on the west side, but it's really got, we've got to look around the building, because really the one elevation that won't be seen the most is the north.
Mm-hmm.
The east and the south are going to be very visible. In fact, the east will probably be visible from 405. And so we need to really look at that and say, what is that going to, Yeah, you can put all your work on this side and it's just blank wall, and that's not what we're looking for.
Be very visible from the trail, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until something else gets built up massively there.
Yeah, but if it's only 35 feet, that's not a serious
problem. Yeah. The other thing to expand upon, I think what John's asking for, is to the extent that the really strong horizontal podium makes us look like one building, if there's a way to make it look like two buildings on that west side by not having such mm-hmm. a strong podium, that may be an option that could be looked at, if just a simple little recess or something.
Well, they're already kind of showing it, I think, in this massing model. You'll see some of those, you know, lower levels that kind of drop down almost in front of, you know, the podium. You can do that. It's tough when it's monochromatic, but once you start playing with the material, you can you really don't see that line. So I just, again, I don't think we'd need another full concept like massing. Like, I think if they further this with their design, they can accomplish the breaking up of the mass.
Yeah. And I think we'll see at that point how all the entries to the various elements work, to the daycare entry from the street, mm-hmm. the residential from the street, because essentially some of those become rather elevated to get up to that level above the parking, the lower parking. So seeing that, I think obviously we'll be
just putting the elevations together would start to show us.
It will definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's just a standard part of their design package.
Like they're saying, not highly sophisticated finished renderings until later, but just so we can rotate it around and look at it.
Do we essentially approve this option as at this point for the CDC meeting, correct? Okay. John, Tony, are we far enough in terms of what we've given them, you think?
I think so. I mean, I guess I would ask the applicant if they've got any questions or anything like that, but I think the direction is to allow them to proceed to the design response.
Maybe there's a question for Mr. Russell. You said there's a lot of potential to the one rendering that you were looking at. Would you like to elaborate on things that maybe we could include?
This representation, I like. The problem you've got is still there's a massive building that's going to be a surprise to people driving along the street. And, you know, we've talked about possible ways to help alleviate that. But in terms of the modulation, use of color, breaking up the face, notching the corner, you've got a lot of things here that I think are excellent.
You can just tell people to drive to Redmond and check that out. And in comparison, this will seem a wee bit different. Can we cut that out? Did I say? Okay.
And
I move to approve the conceptual design conference for Emerald Mixed Use Project.
Second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Option is approved.
If I may, I heard multiple times tonight, you guys drive this area, this road frequently. We're looking for naming inspiration. So if there's anything between now and our next meeting you guys can help us out with, it would be greatly appreciated. So.
Well, if you want to name it after me, I suppose. Yeah.
You could name it Tara's South Daycare, because Tara, just up the street, has daycare out of her house, and she'll still stay in business, I'm sure.
Oh, I've got Tara's South.
Tara's South.
All right. Well, I don't believe there's anything else left on the agenda. We've approved minutes. So, in that case, I would entertain a motion.
So moved. Seconded.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.